The Lord has given me is from John chapter 21, the last chapter of the book of John. And there are two key words in this book that I want to take a couple of moments to build on. One key word is the word fish, and the other key word is the word sheep. Both of them have very important meanings as they relate to this chapter. As you're turning to John chapter 21, could I ask a question? How many of you have begun attending or becoming a part of Newport Mesa Christian Center since we have been in these facilities from the first Sunday of February 1981 till now? Could I see your hand? Have begun coming to the church since then? Maybe I could ask you to stand just a moment. I get a better idea, all right? We'll give you people a break. Have begun attending the church since February of 1981. Okay? Look at that. Praise the Lord. All right? Now, be sure, you may be seated, but to those of you old-timers now, after the service, again, make them all feel welcome. That is a kind of a sign of what is going to be happening now within our church in a very short time, because we are going to see, with the visibility we have with that building and the like, people coming by the multitudes, really. And that is a scary thing, because I think every one of us in this room have always wanted to be a part of a small church where we feel like we're important, that we're noticed, that people know our names, that we're part of a loving, caring community. And growth is kind of a scary thing. It's a scary thing for me as a pastor. I go through frustrations because my level of involvement is changing over the course of time. But I believe that before God, we can determine what kind of growth we choose to embrace. We are under the great orders of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and any vibrant, healthy church is going to grow. It simply can't lock the doors and tell people, look, we've got the number of people we're comfortable with, and we don't want any more. Would you please stay out? Healthy bodies are going to grow, but they grow in two ways. They grow without any kind of an effort to interlink people and vital ministry and encouragement and bodybuilding and just sort of become theater kinds of atmospheres, or they become simply larger churches that have within them many, many churches, a fellowship and linkage together. And it's going to be up to you and me over the next number of months to determine what kind of growth as a church we're going to have. John chapter 21 tells us the story of Jesus after his resurrection appearing on the Lake of Galilee to seven disciples led by Peter who have gone fishing. They fished all night and have taken nothing. The Lord says, put the net in on the other side. They do. And they come up with a net that is so full that they cannot get it to shore until Peter himself comes to the shore and drags it in. And John says that there were 153 fish in the net. And then he gives the very significant phrase, and the net was not broken. When the Lord had first called the disciples in Mark chapter 1 verse 17, he had said to them, come follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Becoming fishers is a process. It did not happen overnight. And the kind of fishing the Lord was talking about and the kind of fishing dealt with throughout the New Testament was not hook, line, and sinker, going after one fish at a time. With only one exception in Matthew 17, where Jesus sent Peter out to catch a fish, one specific fish, to pay their taxes, all other accounts of fishing in the New Testament involved the net and involved catching multitudes of fish. So often we think of evangelism and witness as one person at a time every so often. Jesus taught about a kind of evangelism that put the net of the gospel into the sea of humanity and brought forth families, schools, whole groups of people simultaneously. I believe that that is what is ahead for us. And the Lord Himself is bidding us to put the net in the water. Now, John is the kind of a person, when you go through the gospel, that he always has reasons why he gives details. And one of the interesting things that he tells us about the fish in the net is that in the net were 153 fish. He could have obviously skipped that detail altogether. He didn't need to include it. He could have just simply said the net was just crammed full of all kinds of fish. But he said there were 153 there at the count. And various church fathers have tried to guess over a period of time as to what that 153 meant. Cyril of Alexandria said that the number 153 represented these things. The number 100 represents fullness of the Gentiles. 100 is a full number. The shepherd's flock is a hundredfold. The seed that has full fertility is a hundredfold. Therefore, 100 stands for the fullness of the Gentiles. 50 stands for the remnant of Israel, and 3 stands for the Trinity and its glory to God, and therefore the church will consist of Gentiles, Jews, and for the glory of God. Augustine, 4th century church father, had an ingenious explanation. He said that 10 was the number of the law. Since there are 10 commandments, 7 is the number of grace, for the gifts of the Spirit are sevenfold. 7 plus 10 equals 17, and 153 is the sum of all the figures between 1 and 17. That is, you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5, going straight on through 17, and you come up with a bottom line of 153. And Augustine is saying, therefore, this is a parabolic miracle, which is saying that in the net of the good news of Jesus Christ will be caught all Jews and Gentiles who believe. Jerome probably gives the explanation that makes the most sense, and he says that in his day it was the common belief that there were 153 different kinds of fishes, and that the catch stands for a catch which includes every kind of fish, and therefore the number symbolizes the fact that God is gathering in His catch all manner of people. We will see that in days ahead. Jesus provides this miracle of the fish being gathered in the net and the net not broken to let them know that shortly that is going to happen in the church. On the day of Pentecost, with 120 people, they are to experience their nets straining and taut with the responsibility of 3,000 persons added in one day. I'm not sure that we could take 3,000 people, new converts, in one day. So the Lord will give us the number that we can take. But this early church of 120 immediately assumed responsibility for the care of 3,000 people. And the great thing about looking at the church is that when you suddenly get a large number of new people that don't know the Lord, have just come to the Lord in a church, their values and their way of looking at life may become then the dominating mood and tenor of the body. And yet it's the 120 that need to be the seed and the representative group out of which the doctrine and the life flows, so that the 120 are not to be like the 3,000, but the 3,000 are to become like the 120 in doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And the amazing thing about Acts is that is precisely what happens in the church. The 3,000 become like the 120. And then, hardly before you know it, you turn around and it's not the 3,000 anymore. It's the Lord is adding daily to the church. And then the number of men becomes about 5,000. And then more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And the number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And all through it, the church's nets were not broken. As I look at our church, I'm concerned about, I guess this word of the Holy Spirit came to me as I was driving away from the church a couple of weeks ago, one afternoon, pondering how we were going to get ready for the many people that God would be sending our ways. Would we be ready in our Sunday school? Would we be ready with all the service ministries of the church, the small groups, the ways of embracing people and loving people? Were we ready? I'm concerned about the net of fellowship, that people just don't slip in and then slip out, and they never become followed up or matured or discipled in their Christian walk. I'm concerned about the net of service. We need to serve people, to serve one another. I'm concerned about the net of finances. Will we be able to adequately support and undergird now the ministry, which suddenly, when we move into the new building, means that we have a $90,000 a year utility and maintenance bill that we don't have now? Thank the Lord that $115,000 came in missions commitment, because when we get on top of this whole thing, transition with the building, we're going to see an ability as a church to be involved in missions in a way that perhaps we've never dreamed possible. I'm looking at all these nets, and since I have a tendency to anxiety and worry, I have to bring myself to the Lord and say, now, Lord, what about this? And the Lord spoke this word to me, don't you dare fear. The nets will not be broken. And I say that to you today as a church family that cares for this body, that supports this body, that loves what God is doing here, that is involved in the ministry of this church. I tell you that no matter what comes, these nets will not be broken because the Holy Spirit has been in this venture from day one until He comes. And our job is to keep serving the Lord and being faithful, and He'll just take the little bit we have and keep stretching it and making it go an awful long way. Now the other word in John 21 is the word sheep. And it's the Lord telling us to take care of the sheep. It is, after all, the risen Lord who tells us to put our nets into the water. It's the risen Lord who gives us the confidence that when we put the nets in, the nets won't be torn. And then when we've gathered the net in, He tells Peter, do you love Me? He asks him, do you love Me? And He wants us to answer that question, because if we're going to take care of His sheep, now we're not concerned about catching the fish, but we're concerned for caring for the sheep. The metaphor changes. You don't have to do anything to fish but clean them. You know? But with sheep, you've got to take care of them. You've got to tend them. So the figure changes. And the Lord says, now I want you to quit thinking about catching fish, because it's one thing to catch them, but it's another thing to take care of My body. And therefore, sheep is the word that is employed. And the Lord says, the key requirement for taking care of My sheep is, do you love Me? And when He is sure and when He is satisfied that we love Him, He gives us two responsibilities. He gives us a task to do, feed My sheep, and He gives us a cross to bear. He told Peter that heavy commitment would be required of him as a result of his willingness to follow and be loyal to Jesus Christ. And the Lord says to us at this particular moment in the history of our church fellowship, do you love Me? If you love Me, I give you a task to do. It's great. It's a chance to do something in your life that really counts. A chance to witness, a chance to be of service, a chance to be a willing heart, a willing hand. A task to do, and maybe a cross to bear, because any responsibility in the kingdom of God involves the assumption of some degree of suffering, travail, and intercession. There is no job that I know of in the kingdom of God that is just cream and peaches. Everything we do for the Lord involves assessing the cost and paying the cost to do the task. And as we are faithful to love the Lord, He will make us faithful in tending His sheep and in bearing the responsibility that He thrusts upon us. In the first year of my pastoring at Glad Tidings Assembly of God, in a Sunday morning service, a brother walked up to me whom I do not know. He only attended the church once or twice. And he handed me this slip of paper which he had scribbled out during the service. He was a charismatic, retired Presbyterian minister, is the only thing I know about him. And he had a prophecy to give me, which I instantly recognized when I read it was from the Lord. I shared it with the church once, and that was when we made the decision to move over here. Interestingly enough, I had lost this. I could not remember where I had put it. I have a filing system, not a retrieval system. I'm trying to change that. And I was looking, cleaning out my credenza, getting ready for the move, and there underneath a pile of old tapes and telephone books was a file. And I had some anointing oil in the credenza, and it had managed to spill and leak all over this file, so that this prophecy now is really saturated with anointing oil. The paper is as slick as all get out. I thought, what an interesting phenomenon. The Holy Spirit got in my credenza. But this prophecy, which I thought when it was first given was an immediate tomorrow thing, but which I've realized fits with the scripture that we dealt with this morning, ask, seek, and knock, and that God intended this prophecy to come to pass over a series of stages. As we were ready for each stage, He was going to bring it to pass. And this is what this prophet of God shared with us at that time. Truly, truly, I say unto you, my children, these are not days for faint hearts and weakened knees, but to the contrary, these are days of strong hearts and firm knees, strengthened in the power of My Spirit. For My hand is upon this house, and as I spake before, loosen thy pegs and lengthen thy ropes, for the days of thy increase are almost upon thee. And I shall send a surge of peoples toward thy doors, as a mighty wave toward the shore. And if thy walls are unyielding, and thy ropes stretched taut, how shall they enter, and where shall they go? Look unto me, and I will give thee firmness of faith, and thou shalt stand, as surely as I, the Lord thy God, stand in thy midst. Our Father, we know that you love the world so much, you gave your Son. There are people living about us in our community that desperately need eternal life and desperately need life now to be put together. I think of the family in the apartment that lived above us a long time ago in this town, a family of four children who needed you. They, for me, have always been representative of the many, many people in this town who do not yet know your name, children who are growing up without you because they have not yet been reached. Lord, cause your name to be honored among us and come with a visitation of your Spirit. We simply pray to be faithful. We know, Lord, that the problem is not with the lack of people that are hungry. The key need is workers to feed the hungry. Make us willing workers in your harvest fields. And let our tent cords be lengthened so that we might embrace to ourselves those whom you bring. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Give us a fresh visitation from you in the name of the Lord.